translation. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord, O changeless, unlimited Supreme Truth, you are the origin of everything, being all-pervading. You are in everyone's heart and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. This purport is rather long. So, Okay. Well, it's probably going to be better than the what comes after it, so please pay attention. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not anything of material creation. Everything material must change from one form to another. For example, from earth to earthen pot, and from earthen pot to earth again. All our creations are temporary, impermanent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is eternal, and similarly, the living entities who are parts of him are also eternal. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sanatan, eternal, and the individual living entities are also eternal. The difference is that Krishna, or God, is the Supreme Eternal, whereas the individual souls are minute, fragmental eternals. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Shatjagyam Chapimam Vidhi Sava Shatreshu Bharata. Although the Lord is a living being and the individual souls are living beings, the Supreme Lord, unlike the individual souls, is Vibhu, all-pervading, and Ananta, unlimited. The Lord is the cause of everything. The living entities are innumerable, but the Lord is one. No one is greater than him, and no one is equal to him. Thus the Lord is the supreme worshipable object as understood from the Vedic mantras. Natat samashchabhyadikashcha drisyate. The Lord is supreme because no one can evaluate him by mental speculation or jugglery of words. The Lord can travel more quickly than the mind. In the Shruti mantras of Ishopanishad, it is said, Aneya dekamanaso javio. Naina deva apnuvan purvamasat tat tavatonya atyetitishtat tasminapo matarishvadatati. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of God is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place, he controls those who supply the air and rain, he surpasses all excellence. Ishopanishad, number 4. Thus, the Supreme is never to be equaled by the subordinate living entities. Because the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and the individual living entity is not, never should the individual living entity be equated with the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, the Lord says, Sarvasichaham Ridisani Vishtaha. I am situated in everyone's heart. This does not mean, however, that everyone is equal to the Lord. In the Shruti mantras, it is also said, Ridhiyayam Atma Pratishtha. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Satyam Param Dhimahi. The Vedic mantras say, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Anishkalam Nishkriyam Shantam Niravadyam. God is supreme. Although naturally he does not do anything, he is doing everything. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matstan sarvabhutani na chaham teshvadashtitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sachara charam hetuna nena kuntaya jagad vipari vatate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. Thus, although the Lord is silent in his abode, he is doing everything through his different energies. Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Shruyate. All the Vedic mantras or Shruti mantras are included in this verse spoken by Lord Brahma. For Brahma and his followers, the Brahma Sampradaya, understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Parampara system. We have to gain understanding through the words of our predecessors. There are 12 Mahajans or authorities of whom Brahma is one. Swayambhu Narad Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balaya Vayasikir Vayam. We belong to the disciplic succession of Brahma, and therefore we are known as the Brahma Sampradaya. As the demigods follow Lord Brahma to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also have to follow the authorities of the Parampara system to understand the Lord. Om Agnati Milandasya Gananjanam Sakaya Chakshuram Mintamjana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachanari Nidavisesha Shunni Varipastacha Dishatani Re Vancha Kalpa Trubhyas Cha Kripa Sindubhya Vicha Patita Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadishi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. So herein then, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the temporality of this material existence and extolling the glories and position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sanatan, means eternal. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that this material existence is just a dream. He says this in one presentation, one lecture, that this material world is just a dream. Just like in the night, we have dreams, and at the end of the dream, everything comes to an end. everything is finished, and we wake up and we realize actually none of it was ultimately factual. And we just kind of forget about it. So, Srila Prabhupada said that at night when we dream, this is called the subtle dream, and when we wake up, our mundane existence, this is the gross dream. So we have the subtle dream and the gross dream. The subtle life and the gross life. So the question is raised that which is actual life? Which is our real life? Is it the gross life? Is it the subtle life? Prabhupada said neither is factual. Just like when we wake up in the morning, the subtle dream is finished. When this body is all over, just like the dream at night, the gross dream is also finished. Of course, some people don't necessarily like to hear this. There is this idea, isn't it, that after we die, we're all going to meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, right? But some sunny day somewhere, we'll all be together again. This philosophy is not, unfortunately, supported by Krishna consciousness. Actually, Dhananjaya Prabhu told me a very interesting story, actually. One of those moments, you know, he's obviously knows a lot about... It was actually John Lennon who actually met the devotees first. Although George Harrison did a lot, we know. It was actually John Lennon who met the devotees first. And when they were living at Titan, I think it was Tittenhurst, he has an estate. And Dhananjaya Prabhu told me that Yoko Ono, who was a very nice lady to start with, asked Srila Prabhupada. She said, can you speak to Krishna and arrange it so me and John will be together again after this life? Can you speak to Krishna and arrange it for us? And Prabhupada said, no. At the time of death, you will be parted permanently, separated permanently. As His Grace Ravinda Swarup very nicely put it, some religious groups think that the afterlife is some sort of eternal picnic on the back lawn on Sunday afternoon on a summer's day with a bunch of resurrected relatives. Bit hard going, but the truth is the truth, and after all, we're better off knowing it than not knowing it, right? Otherwise, why are we even here? Why are we even reading these books, right? So, the whole thing is just a dream. And again, as a subtle dream ends at night, this material body and all its accoutrements, the time of death, bang, everything is completely finished. The dream is finished. So therefore the dream is not a fact. The dream is not a fact. But the point is we are a fact, right? Living entities are a fact. Srila Prabhupada said spiritual fact. And this spiritual fact is called Sanatan. And therefore, this human form of life, it is actually meant for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Right now, again, Srila Prabhupada talks about in this bodily conception of life, when we're engaged in the gross dream, we create so many dharmas based, bogus dharmas, Prabhupada calls them, based on the material body. Of course, Sanatan Dharma, Sanatan means eternal, and Sanatan Dharma means the process of understanding our eternality. And on basis of this body we create so many different bogus dharmas. It's not very uncommon to hear people say, well, you know, I'll just be a good person, don't harm anyone, don't hurt a fly, work hard, come to Hari Ram, Hari Krishna Mandir, you know, just be a really good person, do your duty, and then God will be very pleased. Some people even go as far as to think that, well, if I just do my duty, I'm kind to everyone, then we don't actually even need God, because the real thing is you just do your duty. But they don't understand that actually our real duty is Sanatana Dharma, not some fleeting, bogus, temporary Dharma based on the dream body, based on the material body. So the idea is that this human form of life, therefore, it is meant for waking up from the dream. It is actually meant for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This spiritual knowledge, or this platform of spiritual knowledge, of spiritual understanding, is called the Brahma-Bhuta platform. This is the goal, to become on the plane of Brahma-Bhuta. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it, there's that very beautiful and very, very famous verse, Brahma-Bhuta prashanatma nasochi nakangshati sarmasaravesha bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. That when one is transcendentally situated, one at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. So Brahma-Bhuta means the plane of spiritual knowledge, and Srila Prabhupada mentions that in order to become on this platform, then one has to become disgusted with material life. Prabhupada says a lot of very heavy things. If you study these teachings, this is a lot of heavy things. That one has to become, he also mentions that one, in order to transcend the material plane and go back to Godhead, one has to become callous towards material existence. Now, if you look in the dictionary, the word callous is quite, it's actually a very nasty word, actually. It's a very strong, callous means when one is completely devoid of any feelings for something or someone. No interest. Completely callous. There's no interest or any type of feeling towards anyone. Just not interested. Just could not care less. Very cold, to mention. Very cold and no heart. Very nasty. So the idea is that one, in order to go back to Godhead, Prabhupada said, if you become very callous towards material life, that means you have to become completely cold and completely disinterested and unemotional towards anything to do with this material body, and you become completely disgusted with the whole arrangement, then, Prabhupada said, there is some chance that you can go back to Godhead. It's very difficult to make progress in spiritual life if you're attached to a myriad of mundane emotions. What's that verse? Yam yam vapismaram bhavam tajanti ante kalevaram. Bhav means a very strong emotion. And it means, you know, ante kalevaram, at the end you go to wherever you've invested your, or wherever your emotions have been invested. Wherever your emotional investment is placed, that's where you will end up. And Prabhupada said, if you have even one pinch of material emotion at the time of death, you're staying here. You're not going anywhere. You're staying here. if you have even one pinch of emotional investment in this material world, then you have to stay here. So therefore, Brahma-Bhuta platform means that we have to become completely removed from material attachments and emotions. We have to become disgusted with the whole material. And why shouldn't you be? If you understand that you're Sanatan, that you're a spirit soul above something very different from this material body, and you have a relationship in eternality, knowledge and bliss with the Supreme Soul, then why would you want to be here, right? Why would you want to be in this material body, which in itself is really disgusting, isn't it? If you think about it. I mean, just like, for example, people find the body disgusting when there's no life in it, right? You have to get rid of it. We only find the body attractive when it's alive. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulam. Jai Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmanam. Jai Shri Shri Jai. Just like in the hometown where I came from, in Wolverhampton, there was one shop, one restaurant, and some guy had died in the back room, and they just left him there in the sofa. He was dead, and they carried on. And they just closed them down immediately. Because the body is only attractive when the attractive principle is in the body, right? The soul. And why is the soul so attractive? Because it's part and parcel of the supreme attractive, right? So therefore, the active and attractive principle of the body is actually the soul, because Krishna is actually the all-attractive. That's why his name is Krishna. And once that's gone, the whole thing becomes really disgusting, doesn't it? Very eerie and creepy and horrible. So why would we want to be in this material body? If you're a self-realized soul, why would you want to be in this horrible body full of all stool and urine and pus and guts and bile and all other nasty things put together in the form of pumps and pipes and tubes and organs, and then it's just painted over with a lick of paint, and then we think it's great. We think it's cute. It's not cute. You can't think this material body is cute in progressive spiritual life, really. It is very difficult. Prabhupada said it's very difficult to light a fire at the same time you're pouring water on it. Not only is it difficult, it's just stupidity. Right? If you want the fire, then why are you pouring water on it? If you want spiritual life, then why are we trying to aggrandize a whole variety of bogus dharmas to enjoy ourselves on the basis of this body? No, one has to become free. And this is called... the Buddhists have this benefit, isn't it? They don't like the material world, do they? But this is about as far as the impersonalists can get, actually. They can get as far as wanting to become free from the material life. They can't go onto the other stage, which is the Prashanatma. The joy of the soul. Actually, this is supported by Queen Kant. In fact, this principle is supported by the entire scriptures. But there's one very, very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Queen Kanti, actually. This is very interesting. In this is Srimad Bhagavatam 1826, here, the teachings of Queen Kanti, the prayer, she said, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shri Bir Hidamana Madapumam Naivahati Abhidatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gocharam. She prays, My Lord, your lordship can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. So it's not difficult to approach Krishna, but you can only truly approach him when you've material exhausted. Right? When you've had enough. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Wow, what a statement. That means anyone who has material attachments cannot actually approach Krishna. You can't be sincere. You can't have a sincere spiritual feelings for the Lord and at the same time think you can meander around the material world trying to be, you know, engaged in activities to gain material opulence. Isn't all the opulent stuff in the material world that people like? They're like very proud of the family and the lineage, their education, right. Being beautiful, the lengths people go to being beautiful. Right. High education. In fact, this word edamana madar actually means intoxication. Edamana madapunman. The human being who is progressively increasing his intoxication. So all these things, all these bodily allurements are all, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually forms of intoxication. And what is the opposite of mada? Is dira, isn't it? Dira is understood to be somebody who's what? Who's sober. Somebody generally in sober is understood to be not intoxicated. You're either intoxicated or you're sober. Right? You're either drunk or you're sober, isn't it? So one has to become dira. One has to become a dira and not become intoxicated. Arhati na eva ahati. Actually, arhati here means one who deserves. One who deserves. So in other words, one who is intoxicated with material opulence and who is working hard under the bodily conception of life to become more intoxicated does not actually deserve to approach the Lord. If you are materially attached, you do not deserve to approach the Lord to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire, right? So you have to earn it. And this is the difficult part, is giving up attachments, isn't it? Two things that Srila Prabhupada said, a person who is not austere will never see God. And what is that austerity? The austerity is really breaking this attachment, isn't it? And more we get entangled in it, the more difficult it is to get out, right? But of course you have to do so many things, isn't it? We have to take care of the family, what about the children, what about the cat, what about the dog, what about my job? You don't have to do anything. Nobody told you to come to this material world, did they? That was your choice. Nobody told you to do anything. Right? Interesting. So jnana and tapasya are requirements. Austerity and knowledge. And if we don't have the knowledge, then how will we ever want to do the austerity, right? That's why hearing and chanting is so vitally important. Just like every time I go to India, especially in the city, someone will come up and say, your country? So I'll come from Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, England. Oh, very nice. I like come your country. Your country, very nice. I come your country. Why? Because they hear how great the West is, isn't it? Where the streets are paved with gold and the money grows on trees. Let's all go there because they're hearing all this. And when they get here, it's like really hellish, you know. You have to work like an ass 60 hours a week just to keep a roof over your head. This Prabhupada says this is the dog philosophy. This is the dog philosophy. Simply working hard, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, right? The dog eats, you eat, the dog sleeps, you know, you sleep, you could be sleeping in a big mansion with 10 bedrooms, the dog's sleeping in the kennel or the alley. But when you're asleep, right? You don't know where you am, right? So your enjoyment and the enjoyment of the dog, it's the same thing. The only difference is the dog doesn't have to work 50 hours a week like an ass to enjoy it, right? And if we have the audacity to call ourselves advanced, this is not your advancement. This is, Prabhupada said, this is dog philosophy. So if we want to make progress in spiritual life, unfortunately, as painful as it may be, we have to give up the dog philosophy. Otherwise, you don't deserve to approach Krishna. You know, just being part of some secular, mundane, orthodox religion where we're praying to God for our daily bread is just completely useless. This is not what Prabhupada established this temple for. Prabhupada, we talk about the Christian religion. I'm always praying, give me my daily bread. But has he not already given you your daily bread? I mean, what more do you want? How much enjoyment do you think you can get out of the material body? Right? There's only a certain amount of enjoyment you can get out of this body. And even then, it's, you know, not really enjoyment. It's just cessation from misery. Right? It's not really. It's just like if you burst into get to the bathroom, right? Finally you get there, it's ecstasy, you know? But it's not really enjoyment, it's just cessation from misery. So when we come to the platform of Brahma Bhuta, understanding all these things, then what happens, Prashanatma? Then you become joyful. We become happy when you realize, actually, I'm not part of this. I'm an eternal spirit soul. One becomes very jubilant. The platform of Brahma Bhuta means freedom from material contamination. You should feel very happy if you're doing it properly. Like Prabhupada said, isn't it? If you're not happy, you're doing something wrong. Or collectively, if we're not happy as a community, we're doing something wrong. Probably me, you know. Na sochate, na kangshate, right? At that point, we become free from hankering and lamenting. We become joyful, we realize we become free from the dream, and if something we're not attached to, you know, we're no longer suffering and burning with so many material desires and lamenting for what we could have said or what we should have done. Right? What we haven't got, what we're going to lose. Always worrying about, isn't it? Oh, if only I'd have said this. Oh, if only I'd have done that. Who gives a damn? Right? You give a damn about that stuff, you're staying here. According to the teachings here. Right? And then, as it's mentioned, we become equally disposed to all living entities, equally disposed and friendly to all living entities, because we understand everybody is part of God, part of Krishna. Krishna is something special. We are all part of Him. That means you must also be something special, right? This is the vision of the great souls, right? If you're part, if Krishna is the supreme special, you're part of Him. You must also be something special. That's how the great souls see. That's why they have affection and they're friendly and they're equal to all living entities. Prabhupada said that someone in this stage of life, for one who reaches this stage, Krishna is very, very kind to such a person. Because in the mundane life, we think if Krishna's given me a big house, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with big houses and having, but the point is, if you're attached to it, you're staying here. What does Jesus say in the Bible? Lord Jesus said, it's easier for what? It's easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than it is for a what? To enter the kingdom. Why? Because it's very attached. In Kali Yuga, every pauper is proud of his penny. What to speak of anything else, right? Very difficult. So, of course, the best thing is just not to get involved as much as possible. I mean, we have examples like the four Kumaras, right? Kumara is an age between 0 to 5 years old, right? At the until that point, the child is considered completely innocent. In the Manu Smriti, it says the child doesn't accept any karma. All goes to the parents, not involved. So the four Kumaras, to Lord Brahma, no, we're not going to get involved. We don't want to be involved in this. We'll stay Kumaras. We're going to be the Kumaras. We're not going to get any reaction. We're not going to get involved. Sukadev Goswami, right? How many years did it take for him to appear? 16 years. Why does he want to get involved? Reluctant. Very reluctant. And then when he did appear, what did he do? He just left home. His father's lamenting. So what? Completely. And I mean, this doesn't mean we have to be nasty and cold and mean to everything and everyone. That's not the symptom. You know, it says here, friendly and equally disposed to living entities doesn't mean going around being nasty and rude and mean. That's not devotional temperament. If you're, like Prabhupada said, if your love for God is there, if your love for Krishna is there, then your love for the ant will be there. Right? You know, if we're being nasty, mean, and, you know, then what is our devotion? So Srila Prabhupada said, when one is in this condition of life, when one is on the platform of Brahma-Bhuta, and we have no longer any emotional investments in material life, we're equally disposed and friendly to all living entities, according to this verse, at this point, that is where actual devotional service takes place. At that stage. That's where actual devotional service takes place. So we can be guided in devotional service, as mentioned here, by the Lord and his devotees. So this is very wonderful, actually, what Srila Prabhupada has given us. That is giving us so much knowledge about the nature of who we are, who is God, what is the nature of this material world, what is our true position, how to become free from the false position and go back to our true position, which is our unique relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is considered the summarization of the entire teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And what does the Lord say? A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. The Lord says then at the conclusion, this is the way of spiritual and godly life. This is the way of godly life, actually. And after attaining which a man is not bewildered, he becomes what? Dearer. Even if one is thus situated at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. But I wouldn't kind of leave it till then if I were you. It's going to be tough right at the end. If you've lived a materialistic life all your life and you think, well, okay, I'll just, when I die, I mean, that's not very devotional, is it? That's just ridiculous. And Srila Prabhupada has taught us that all these things can be understood by chanting Hare Krishna and reading these different books that he's given us. And better then also, we try and also help other people. His mission is to engage us in this process and then go out and give and teach and offer whatever we have and know to other people to become friendly and equally disposed. And as Srila Prabhupada would always say to the devotees, if you do this, then both himself and Krishna will become very pleased. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?